Welcome back to another episode of the Double or Nothing podcast. We are in NFL Week 13, a special Thanksgiving edition episode here. A lot of the games are all over the place. We got three tomorrow on Thanksgiving. We have one on Friday, and then the rest on Sunday. So let me see here. First, we'll get into kind of how we did last week. I went 7-6 overall. And 2-1 in the best bets.
7-6?
Yep.
Must have been 8-6.
Mm-mm. Remember we went through this?
Because I was two games under 500.
You were 5-8.
Oh, it was 5-8?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I was three games under 500.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because there was less games last week. So, and then, like I said, 2-1, the best bet. So, a decent week. A lot of things came down to the wire last week. We talked about, you know.
Yep, you're right. I was just looking over it again. Yep.
A lot of unfortunate stuff in the Minnesota at the end of the game there that could have.
Oh, yeah, that was a fake score.
You know, we gave out San Fran that we liked last week. And then 12 hours later, Brock Purdy and Bosa get announced out.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, it's tough. It's just all part of giving picks out earlier on in the week.
Exactly.
You know, you're never going to get, you know how it goes. I mean, my whole life, I wake up on Sunday morning and I get new feels for what I'm doing. So from a gambling perspective, when I actually make my final determination on what I'm going to take and gamble on, it's usually Sunday morning. But, you know, sometimes it kills you, sometimes it helps you, you know. But giving out picks early this week definitely screwed us with the Niners game, but that was really it. I just didn't have a great week.
Yeah, that was really all. I mean, just didn't really I'm not saying I would have taken the Packers. I don't know what I would have taken, but I probably
I don't think anybody would have taken the Niners at that
probably
point.
Probably wouldn't have taken the Niners because their backup knew nothing about.
Yeah, and I think it was more the Nick Bosa thing, you know. Every time he's off the field, you see them drive downfield and score a touchdown, and then when he's on the field, they struggle to get first down. So he's such a difference maker on that side of the ball. So
I know. Well, you know what? It would have been they returned the one kickoff. I don't know if you saw this. Debo returned it down to the 9-yard line, and then they threw a flag for holding that wasn't holding all the way back. So if they go in and score a touchdown there, 17-14. I know.
Different ball game.
Yeah. It's a different ball game. Instead, they punt. It's going, you know, it's just.
The Dallas Commanders game was the craziest football game I've ever watched.
That was another terrible beat for me. I took the under, and there was three kick returns for touchdowns in the last 2 minutes.
That was incredible, dude. That was incredible. I mean, obviously, there was things before these events that I'm going to say that took place that were also crazy. But when they went downfield and scored, right, the Commanders, and then they kicked it off, and it looked like Turpin or bobbled the kick return.
Yeah,
I was like, oh my god, the Commanders are gonna have a chance here. They're gonna pin him inside the 10. He caught that ball and he planted his feet and did the fastest quick little spin move and took it to the house. I couldn't believe what I was watching. I was
AJ,
like, that
and
was
I
insane.
Called it a Madden spin move because I didn't even think it was fast. He did it. He spun, and there wasn't a defender within, like, 4 yards of him, and the defender just, like...
Yeah, it was weird, man.
It looked like something out of a video game.
It was crazy.
And then he takes off, like,
dude, that was
25 miles per hour down the field.
And he's a good kick returner, because I know he did it a couple of times early on in the year, too, but that was incredible. And then for Jaden Daniels to answer the bell and hit Terry on that crosser, and then Terry just kind of did it on his own because it was just kind of like a routine big play.
Yeah, just
probably would have been 30-40 yard play. Would have been a big play, but Terry just kind of took a perfect angle and then took it to the house. And I'm like, oh my god, I cannot believe what I'm watching right now. And for that kicker to miss that extra point is like, wow.
I know.
I mean, that was pathetic.
Kickers have been on this awful.
And that was a bad hold. I know I saw, but like. I'm not a kicker, so I don't know how much this stuff affects it, but it seems like every time they're like, oh, bad hold, it looks like it's a miss kick. Yeah. So maybe it's
out.
way more of a hindrance than we know.
Well, look at the Texans, dude. I mean, they went down to had a chance to tie the game, 28-yard field goal with a minute and a half last, and the kicker shanks it.
I know. Fairbairn.
Shanks a 28-yard field goal.
I know.
Not his first time. He did it against the Jets, too.
I know.
Like, I think the same distance.
It's
so
crazy. It's just crazy to watch.
The guy will hit 55-yarders all day.
Yeah.
28? Nah, I can't do it.
And you know what's so funny is the first 2 weeks of the season, I remember, like, we were talking about how, like, it seems like the new 40 is 50. Like, it seems like everybody was making everything outside of 50. It was like lights out.
All these and then sports all of a sudden, shows, dude, the sports flipped. Shows were like, should we bring in the goalpost width a little bit?
Yeah. Like, and then all of a sudden you flip a switch and guys are missing 30 yarders left and right. So, well, whatever. I just wanted to touch on that. I thought that game, me and Taylor were sitting here in the living room. Nobody came this week, so it was just us, and we were watching it, and I thought that was absolutely insane, that game. But
yeah. All right, so we'll jump right into these Thanksgiving games. I took some quick notes I got from RJ Bell's podcast.
Oh, all right. Cool. All right,
here
cool,
we go. Yeah. Double-digit favorites on Thanksgiving, 11-2-1 against the spread. Okay. Favorites in general since 2004, 38-19.
Wow.
And those are the two ones that I thought really spoke will speak to about in
wow, these upcoming that's crazy
games.
That's crazy.
So it looks like basically home favorites have or favorites have been dominant on Thanksgiving since they start playing these. And the Lions, we'll get right into it. The Bears are at the Lions. Lions -9. At home, over under 48.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Lions here, -9. I don't really think I get it. It's a lot of points. It's a division game. The Bears defense is definitely capable of making it a close game, but I just think overall, I think the Lions are just going to keep rolling. You know, they had what would be considered a bad week last week and scored, what, 26, 24? I think they scored 24 points.
Yeah, they covered, that's for sure.
They scored 24 points and it was considered like a low scoring week for them.
Yeah.
You know,
on the road against a team who's just as good as the Bears are.
Yeah, so I just think that they're going to roll the Bears here, so not much to talk about. Just give me the Lions, especially now after your stat. I mean, I know they're not double digit favorites, but just favorites
but they,
in general.
They opened up double digit. It was 10.5 at the open, so people are taking the Bears.
Yeah. You know, yeah, I'm going to roll Lions. I'm going to roll Lions -9.
This morning when I looked, they were 10 still, 10.5. But I'm going to take the Lions too. Short week, rookie quarterback, less time to prepare. I don't know. I think the Lions have been in this spot for so many years now that they're just accustomed to these Thanksgiving games. And
yeah,
they've been steamrolling teams. So until they don't, I know the Bears just went to overtime. They just went to overtime, too, against the Vikings in a game that, I don't know.
Shouldn't have went to overtime.
They shouldn't have went to overtime. So this would be the third division game in a row for the Bears.
Oof.
Lost their last two as well. Close one to the Packers where they missed the kick and then overtime to the Vikings. But, hard to bet against the Lions.
Yeah, it's hard to bet against the Lions. So this isn't a bet against the Bears as much as it is just a bet with the Lions.
Exactly.
So I'm gonna take the Lions -9.
All right, for the 4:30 game, it is the Giants at the Cowboys. Cowboys are -3, over under 37.5. Not sure on who's playing quarterback for the Giants. DeVito, I saw, had a wrist injury. I think it's kind of a game time decision was the last update. So,
yeah, Giants are a mess, dude. Giants are a mess.
They look like a team that's given up.
Yeah. Dallas isn't far behind. So this is a sloppy, weird game on Thanksgiving. I'm gonna go with an unlikely selection from me here. I'm gonna take the Giants +3 here.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't know what to make of the game. I think both teams are really bad. And the Giants, I just feel like, are going to find a way to ruin their draft status, their draft pick, their draft selection here. So I don't know. I just feel like it's one of those games where finally Giants fans are all on board with, like, wanting to lose, and this will be a game they pull out and win, you know? So I'm going to take the Giants and the 3 points.
I'm going to take the home team in Dallas just to win. I still think on paper they're a better team than the Giants. I felt really bad for DeVito watching them against the Bucks. I mean, his offensive line just did nothing for him.
Nothing.
It was like an embarrassment. It looked like the defense wasn't even trying to tackle Bucky.
Yeah, they look like they've like given up. But I kind of called that last week I said I thought I gave a perfect depiction of like how the team was just not happy with the organization, how they were going to kind of lay down instead of get up for the backup.
I think you're right, though, in a sense. Like, this is a division game. I don't think they're going to lay down for the Cowboys.
No.
I mean, it's standalone game, division, Thanksgiving. I'm just going to keep going with the trend that the favorites on Thanksgiving, you know?
I agree. I do think that Malik Nabers is just obviously being, like, just shouting from the mountaintops that, like, the organization's a disaster. They never get me the ball, which is normally, you know, a crybaby situation that doesn't get handled that well. But I feel like the Giants now, like, he's their only shining star. So, like, I feel like at this point, I think the game plan is just going to be to throw him the ball 100 times.
This is like the fourth time this year they've had that interview with him.
Yeah,
why
I know.
Why aren't you getting the ball? I don't know. Ask coach. I don't know. Ask Danny. Like, I'm
But Daboll finally, like, came out and was like, hey, we got to figure out a way to get him the ball more. And I feel like if they were in a, if this was a different situation, if the Giants were in a better spot and they were winning football games, I feel like they would shut this shit down immediately and be like, absolutely not. Like, yeah. But, like, I feel like it would be like a George Pickens in Pittsburgh type situation.
I just don't know what they can do. Their offensive line does not block.
No.
So outside of wide receiver screens, he doesn't have enough time to get the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not saying that there's a right or a wrong side of this game. I really don't think there is. Yeah. But I'm just going to take the points because I'm so undecided on who's worse.
Last game of the night, we have the Miami Dolphins at Green Bay. Miami +3, over under 47.5.
I'm going to take Miami +3. Tua's rolling, dude. I don't know if it really feels that way because, you know, I haven't heard much about it. But I don't know. I just feel like he's playing really good football since he's been back and not too many people are talking about it.
They've looked great their last couple games.
Yeah, it looks like he's just that he is a guy who you don't realize how important he is until he's gone. And I was definitely part of that group because I was the first person here saying anybody could do it with that offense. Anybody could do it with that offense. I thought Tyler Huntley was going to step right in and kill it, and he didn't. And now that Tua is back, they've been playing really, really good. And I don't know. I feel like they have a lot to fight for. I think they're like in that last wild card spot right now. If the season ended today, I think they have it, yeah, right?
I'm not sure.
I think in the standings, they're like eighth seed right now or something. So I think they got a lot to play for. And I think that I would maybe even lean over here. But I'm gonna take Miami in the 3 points. I think they're a good enough team, a high powered offense who could score a lot of points. It's gonna be a close game. And the Packers might squeeze it out, but give me Miami in the 3 points.
I'm going against you here. I'm fading Tua in cold weather. We know he's 1-7, a record when under 50 degrees. Tomorrow night, Green Bay, 19, wind 10 to 20 miles per hour, chance of snow.
Oof.
I can't go. If this was a sunny day in Miami, yeah, give me the Dolphins all day.
But yeah,
in this type of ugly cold weather, I already know that some of the Dolphins players are saying, oh, we're out to prove that we can play in the cold. And that just tells me all that I know they can't play in the cold.
Yeah.
Any team that talks about how they're able to play in the cold cannot play in the cold. So I expect a lot of this tomorrow, and this always drives me nuts. You'll see guys from Miami warming up with no shirt on. No, you know, they'll be out there catching balls, just, you know, bare skinned. And that just tells me the weather is just all in their head and they know it's freezing cold.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree. I just think it's one of those situations where the Packers can afford to lose here. They're 8-3, not to say that they want to, but like the Lions, I mean, the Dolphins really can.
To me, the Packers can. They have to keep pace with the Lions and the Vikings.
Yeah, no, I get that. But I think that the Packers are basically playing for a wild card at this point.
Oh, they're only one game back in Detroit.
No, they're two games back of Detroit. They're one game back of Minnesota.
Minnesota? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
They're one game back of Minnesota. They're two games back of Detroit. And Detroit's – I mean, I get what you're saying. You obviously are always playing, but they're in third place in the division right now. Like, I think if they get a wild card spot, they're happy. I don't think that they have a chance to win the division.
Yeah.
Like I said, if the Packers drop one here, I don't think it's the biggest deal in the world.
Yeah, wouldn't it be like a shock?
Yeah.
I just got to fade the Dolphins in the cold weather.
I don't hate it.
All right, the Friday game. We have the Kansas City Chiefs at home against the Raiders. Kansas City -12.5, over under 42.5. Aiden O'Connell will be starting for the Raiders.
Give me 12.5 and the Raiders. Kansas City doesn't know how to blow teams out. like you know, I mean, that came down to the wire. Bryce Young looked great. Panthers looked good. Chiefs defense is really good, and he still went in there, put on a show. He's turned a corner. He's turned himself into looking like the Panthers might have a second thoughts on trading him. He looked a lot better. I thought that they had a real chance to win that football game there at the end until Mahomes does what Mahomes does, has that run down the sidelines, sets his team up for a field goal. They win the game. But it just seems like that's an every week showing. You know, they kind of do some crazy little thing in the end. Mahomes makes a play or two. They get a blocked field goal. Something happens in the end where they kind of squeeze out a win. And I don't see that changing here. So I'm going to take the 12.5. Even if they win by 10, whatever. I don't see – until Kansas City starts blowing teams out, I'm going to take more than double digits with anybody.
I feel like that's the only side to take here. Raiders plus 12.5.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you want to take the Chiefs in like a 10-point teaser or something. But – like you said, Kansas City has proved that they just can't blow teams out. And, hey, maybe we'll look stupid next week coming back and they beat them by 2 touchdowns.
But yeah, but even if they did, it would be the first time they do it all year. Exactly. So I'm not.
That's why I'm not afraid to take the Raiders plus 12.5 because they haven't blown anyone out.
Yeah.
If you can't – I'm not saying Carolina's a horrendous team. They're playing really well. But if you go in there and you don't even – you know, you have to go to overtime against them, then – you know, why
are you laying 12.5 the following week? It just doesn't make sense.
Especially against a division opponent that obviously this is like these two teams get up to play each other.
Yeah.
No matter how bad the Raiders have been playing lately, they always get up for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Every single time. So I'll take the points with you. Now, moving on to the Sunday slate, we'll start with the Chargers at the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons are plus 1.5 at home, over under 48.
I'll weigh the 1.5 with the Chargers. Atlanta's off a bye, right?
Yeah.
Atlanta's off a bye, so they're in a good spot. Off a bye at home. But Chargers just lost a heartbreaker to the Ravens. So I'm going to I guess Chargers are on a short week, right?
They played Monday night.
They're on a short week traveling west to east.
West to east, 1 o'clock game.
1 o'clock game. Yeah,
Kirk's a team off.
Oh man, I don't know. Wow.
1 o'clock Kirk Cousins.
You know what? I'm gonna go against all the analytics here and I'm gonna stay with my gut. I don't know.
No J.K. Dobbins this week.
Yeah, I'm gonna stay with my gut. I'm gonna stay with my gut. My gut tells me the Chargers are a really good football team and you know, if their receivers can start just doing anything, catching them. I mean, I know Ladd McConkey's played well, but, I mean, Quentin Johnson had those horrible drops in that game the other night against the Ravens. So if they can just do anything to help Herbert out, I think they can beat anybody. So Falcons are shaping up to be like a Jekyll and Hyde kind of team. You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah,
so,
zero idea.
So I'm just going to roll with who I think is the better football team here, and I'm going to take the Chargers minus 1.5.
I'm going to go over 48. I think you said this last week, the Chargers offense seems to be getting better every single week. There is one thing that's been consistent with the Falcons is their terrible defense. And I don't know if that's, you know, maybe the bye week helped them out. But until I see any significant improvement by the Falcons defense, I'll take the over. The only reason I'm not on to the Chargers is because the Falcons offense has showed me it could be unbelievable. Or it could be horrendous. So they're the most inconsistent team in the league. So for that, I'll take the over. I think there'll be a decent amount of points in this.
Okay.
We got next the Steelers at the Bengals. The Steelers are plus 2.5, over under 47.5.
I'm going to take the Bengals minus 2.5 here.
Coming off a bye as well.
Bengals off a bye. Their season is still hanging on by a thread.
Yeah, no, they're still right in it.
Yeah, they're hanging on. I know the Steelers just lost a heartbreaker in that Snow Bowl versus Cleveland, and I didn't see that one coming. I know the Steelers are a good football team, but I think that the Bengals are – I think the Bengals are just going to keep doing what they've been doing. I think Joe Burrow, if one or two – maybe two or three of those games flip the opposite direction – for him, like a couple field goals made, you know, a couple balls caught. Like, you know, we're talking about Joe Burrow running away with MVP.
All right.
You know, I mean, that's how good he's played. So I don't see him slowing down anytime soon. I know the Steelers defense is one of the defenses in the league that probably can slow him down, but 2.5 doesn't seem like enough. Like if it was 3 or 3.5, I'd lean Steelers, but I'll weigh the 2.5 with the Bengals at home off a bye.
I'm going right there with you. I think maybe I'm hoping the bye week has helped them a little bit, maybe prepare. So we got a division game, Bengals at home. They need the game like blood. I know, like you said, Steelers just came off a tough loss to the Browns. Also a division game, but I think the Bengals need this one a lot, and I'm going to go with the home team division game off a bye. That's it. That's all I got for you. He's been, you know, Joe Burrow's been playing amazing, and I think it continues here. Even though the Steelers have a good defense,
absolutely,
they still let the Browns hang 24 on them in the snow. So.
Yep.
All right. We got some time. So
okay.
For at least one more.
Okay.
Next game we have is the Texans at the Jaguars. Texans -3.5, over under 43.5.
Oof.
Trevor Lawrence is practicing. Tank Bigsby and Etienne also practicing. I'm not sure if Trevor Lawrence is playing this week.
Oh, well, I mean, that's the difference, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be the difference. He's set to practice on Wednesday. Today, that was 3 hours ago. So, you know what? I'm going to roll with the fact that they think he's playing. Texans haven't looked great. I know they missed that field goal or whatever, but they still overall just didn't play great against the Titans.
Terrible. I mean, if they didn't get that pick six, I mean, Will Levis, that's like a guarantee. But if they don't get that pick six, they're getting blown out.
Yeah. They've taken a step back. They gotta gather themselves and figure it out a little bit. And I think that's kind of tough to do against a division team, a division game. So I'm going to roll with Trevor Lawrence. I think Trevor Lawrence is in the same boat as Joe Burrow, obviously at a way lesser scale, but I think he has kind of gotten a lot of hate this year, and I don't think he's played bad football. I think he's played pretty good football. Everybody's dropping the ball. Oh, like their defense isn't playing good. Their receivers aren't playing good, but I don't know. I feel like it's the same kind of situation as the Eagles game, where it just kind of feels like Eagles, but then they stick around and they cover the spread. So I do think the Texans should win the football game, but 3.5 seems like it's a little bit of a stretch. So I'll roll with the Jags in the 3.5.
I like that. I'm going to do the over 43.5. I think the Jaguars defense is not that great, but I think like if Trevor Lawrence does play this game and Bigsby and Etienne come back and they have Brian Thomas Jr. and Gabe Davis, Ingram, I think their offensive firepower is still there. It's been their defense that just lets them down all season. So to me, this is low. I think the Texans do kind of hopefully get right offensively this game, but it is, you know, CJ Stroud has been struggling, but they still put up in the mid 20s every week. So I'll go with the over 43.5. Seems a little low. All right. We got time for one more here.
Okay.
We got the Cardinals at the Minnesota Vikings. Cardinals are +3.5, over under 44.5.
Oof.
Yeah.
I would love to take the 3.5 in the Cardinals here.
Coming off, I mean.
You know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to take the Cardinals in the 3.5. They haven't played good, and they've disappointed me as of recent with a lot of these games. And I know the Vikings have played really good, but I just think 3.5, like that half a point just is sucking me in. I don't know if they're trying to get me to do that with the way it's set up and the way the line is right now. But if you're going to give me 3.5 with a team that's like right in the conversation with being an above average football team, I'm going to take the 3.5. I think the Cardinals have played up and down. They've been a roller coaster all year, and they've put up a couple bad showings in a row, so I think they're due for a bounce back spot here. I think that at bare minimum, I think they keep it close.
Yeah, that 3.5 is so enticing. The Vikings have played nothing but close games the last couple weeks. They haven't really blown someone out, I think, since the Texans game. You know, they played the Jaguars really close, and that was with Mac Jones at quarterback. I don't know if they're regressing a little bit or But you know what? I'll take the Cardinals as well, plus 3.5. I also kind of like the under. I feel like both defenses are really good. But for, you know, just for the 3.5 purposes, I think the Cardinals bounce back this week.
Yeah, we got burned with the half a point with the Vikings last week.
Yeah, we did.
You know, so it's like kind of like, fuck
you
guys.
They were up 10, right?
I know. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's just like, fuck you guys. You know, if you guys can't close out games, then I'm going to take the hook.
Yeah, I'll take the hook. Plus 3.5. Yep. Cardinals. All right. To the next game, we have the Indianapolis Colts at the New England Patriots. Patriots plus 2.5 over under 42.5.
I'm going to take the Colts plus 2.5.
No, they're minus 2.5, the Colts. Sorry.
I'll take the Colts minus 2.5. That's why I read it wrong. I said it wrong. I was looking at it right. I'll take the Colts minus 2.5. I don't know. I'm like kind of in this weird spot with the Colts where I just never really know what to make of them. But I always just am impressed by how much overall talent they have. They just never really seem to put it together and be able to go out and win football games. So I'm just going to ride with the fact that I think they have enough talent where they should have no problem beating the Patriots. And I'm sure that won't be the case. I'm sure it'll be an absolute dogfight down to the end. But if it was 3, I'd go Patriots. But since it's only 2.5, I'll take who I think is the better team. And I think the Colts are the better team on paper.
I'm going to take the Patriots at home, plus 2.5. I keep taking the Patriots every week. I don't know why. I think that they're a lot of bad coaching decisions on Gerard Mayo's part, honestly. That's really what's been hindering this team. I think offensively they can score a lot of points. I think the Colts are just in this no man land of I have no idea what team is going to come out that week. They looked good against the Jets, and then they looked horrendous against the Lions. Anthony Richardson just might be the worst quarterback I've ever seen. You would think with him there, Jonathan Taylor would be like a solid option. I know we talked about this with Greg yesterday. He just keeps the ball himself, never makes the right read, not a very accurate passer. I don't know. I'll take the home team getting the points. I think the Patriots bounce back this week.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate the pick. I'm just going to ride with the fact that they're going to
– like on paper, the Colts are just a better team.
Yeah, they're a better team. I think Drake Mayo will figure it out a little bit this week just because I don't think the Colts' defense is very good. But offensively, I mean, Alec Pierce, Pittman Jr., Josh Downs, Jonathan Taylor, Anthony Richardson, I know is an up-and-down guy. But it just feels like these guys got to pull it together and kind of just – all these plays you see and you see all this opportunity and Anthony Richardson misses them or he makes the wrong read, but it's like the way the play is designed, it looks like, holy shit, this should work. And then it just doesn't. I think I'm just banking on the fact that, you know, the cards fall their way this week and all these close plays turn into plays that they make. And I think they'll beat the Patriots.
All right. Here's a interesting game. The Seattle Seahawks are at the New York Jets. Seattle is minus 1.5, over under 41.5.
Yeah.
Mastro asked me if I wanted to go to this game. I said no.
Yeah, no. I'll take Seattle. I'll take Seattle minus 1.5. Seattle's playing good football.
First in their division right now.
Yep, they're playing good football. And, you know, I kind of was against them for the past few weeks because they absolutely torched me in that Giants game. I was just – I had a bad taste in my mouth about them since. But – they have definitely battled back and put themselves in a really good position with their record in their division. And the Jets are just an absolute dumpster fire. So I think that they're going to struggle a lot. I mean, they've struggled every week, even their best week that they put together. The best week that they've put together offensively in a while was against the Colts, and they still lost. So
they always find a way to lose.
I think Seattle's better than the Colts. And I don't think they're going to have as much opportunities. I don't think Geno's going to make as many mistakes as
Geno Smith revenge game.
Oof, I wasn't thinking of it like that. I think it's a little too far gone for something like that. But I just think that Seattle overall is a better football team at basically every aspect. So I'll take Seattle.
The Jets just have too much negative in their, you know, their whole organization right now. You know, you got Rodgers going on McAfee and basically having to tell everyone, oh, yeah, no, I never said I wasn't going to play for the Jets. I said I don't know if I'm playing next year is what, but if I do play next year, I'd want to be for the Jets. There's just too much going on there.
I mean,
Now with the GM fired, their defense has looked horrible.
I think it was a bad GM fire. I think that Joe Douglas has done his part and drafted a lot of talent and put a good roster together for the Jets to be successful. And everything outside of that, I mean, there's not much he can do outside of put the team in a position to win by getting the proper roster put together. And I think that's what he's done. I don't think anybody's ever said the Jets don't have talent.
Oh, man.
I don't think I've heard that argument.
You could see all these, like, you know, ex-coaches coming out making their case, like, yeah, you know what? I'd throw my hat in the ring to go there. I mean, on paper, it's not like, and this is no shade to Carolina, it's not like someone being fired and then, hey, go to Carolina and take over. Like, this team has, on paper, to get 9 to 10 wins.
Yeah. So and for your owner to be flying in on helicopter to the practice to hop off the helicopter and pull your GM off the field mid practice to fire him and embarrass him after he's done nothing but put together an all-star roster for you guys to succeed, then I just think that just says all you need to know about the Jets. They're just an absolute mess. They don't know which direction to go, which direction to turn. So
there's too much noise. I mean, your buddy Colin Cowherd always says that. The noisiest team is always the worst team.
Yep.
And right now there's just too much noise. And until we see anything different, Seattle's a better team. They just flat out are a better team. Every week we see the Jets either giving points when they shouldn't be, like against Arizona, and or, you know what, this one is a 1.5-point spread. Come on. They're not a better team than Seattle.
Nope. So I'm going to roll Seattle minus the 1.5 here.
Me as well. Next game, we got the Titans at the Washington Commanders. Titans are plus 5.5, over under 44.5.
Ooh, that's a low over under. I'm going to roll with Washington minus 5.5, though. I'm not going to throw my hat in the over here. I'm gonna take Washington minus 5.5. They did not look great in a game they should have won last week, but division games can get wiry sometimes. So I know Jaden Daniels has definitely taken a step off of a step back
off that rookie of the year track.
I mean, listen,
I still think that he is, but
I do too, and I think that he's unbelievable, and I think he will get back to lighten it up. But I mean, we're a missed extra point away from him maybe going and winning that game in overtime, and everyone's talking about how he's a hero, you know? So I don't think he shies away from the big moment. I think he knows that his team has dropped 2 in a row. So he's playing a bad football team. No better spot to get on track than against Will Levis. So I'm gonna lay the 6.5, and I think Washington should have no problem winning this game by a touchdown or more.
I see 5.5, so I'll give you the 5.5.
All right, yeah, 5.5. That's what I meant.
You said that.
I'll take Commanders minus 5.5. I don't think that the Commanders have any problem winning this game by a touchdown or more.
I'm gonna take them too. Home team. I think this is a get right game. I think that Dallas loss is like kind of like a little bit of a wake up call. And the Titans just won their Super Bowl game of the year. They're not going to make the playoffs. They know that. And they beat the Texans at home. So I think traveling on the road this week, it's a
big letdown spot for them.
Big letdown spot for them.
Yeah.
And only a bounce back spot for Washington. So I'll take the home team minus 5.5. We have a division game to start off the 4 o'clock slate. The Buccaneers are at the Panthers. The Bucs are minus 6, over under 46.5.
See, I just gave Bryce Young a lot of credit here, but rolling minus 6. Ooh. I'm rolling Bucks minus 6. I mean, I just think the Bucks are a really good football team, man. I mean, they just do what they're supposed to do, and Baker Mayfield has played great all year. Their team has played great all year. I mean, they're a scary team. If they sneak in there, which I know is looking grim because they're 5-6.
Oh, they can. I mean, you look at their schedule coming up.
Yeah, I mean, it's an outside looking in type of chance. But I mean, people forget, like, they're the one that knocked off Detroit early on this year and shocked everybody. So and they just never seem to have any problem moving the ball. I mean, you turn on any Bucs game, they're moving the ball up and down the field every fucking drive. So I just think, I know Bryce Young's turned a corner. I know the Panthers are good, but I think it's a little too early to be like, oh, hey, yeah, I think they're going to go in here and I think that they're going to beat Tampa. I don't think they are. So I'm going to roll. This is the same situation it was last week. Tampa was laying six against the Giants. Yep. And if the Giants and the Panthers played tomorrow, it'd be a dogfight. And you know, the fucking Bucks beat the piss.
I don't know. I think the Panthers and Giants played tomorrow. Panthers probably steamroll.
Yeah, maybe. Bryce Young is playing better, and I hope he continues to play good. I would like to see the Jets get him. Yeah, but I'll roll Bucks here. They've played too good all year, and all their losses, like if you look at all their six losses, I mean, it's not like they're getting blown out. I mean, they're losing down to the wire, man.
Two of their losses have been to Atlanta in a shootout, shootouts. Yeah, you know. So
I'll take the Bucks minus six. I think the Bucks have a chance to roll here.
I'm gonna go over 46.5, just off the fact that, like you said, the Bucks have been moving the ball up and down the field. Mike Evans, second week back, I think he'll get more involved. K-Dot and so you got Bucky. Their whole offense is unbelievable. And Panthers have been playing better lately. They've been scoring. They at least been scoring in the 20s every single week now. Kansas City's defense, I thought, like you mentioned before, is a good defense. And they hung around and put up 27 on them. And they had a couple more chances to get more. They were inside the red zone a couple times where they only came away with field goals. So
yeah.
Bryce Young, hopefully he keeps it going. So I'll take over 46.5.
I like that pick.
All right, we got the Rams traveling to the Saints. The Saints are +2.5 at home, over under 48.5. Saints coming off a bye. I have no idea what to make of the Saints.
I don't either. And it's starting to feel that way with the Rams too. I've always liked the Rams, and I definitely thought that they had a real chance to maybe take the division this year if everybody stayed healthy. They had a lot of health issues earlier on in the year, and it kind of hurt them week in, week out. But I'm going to take the Rams here. Rams -2.5. I think
that's the only way you can go.
Yeah, Rams -2.5. The Saints don't have much they're playing for, and the Rams have to basically win out. You know, I mean, they need to win a lot of football games to get back in the conversation. So, hungry dog runs faster. Matt Stafford's playing good football. Puka is playing unbelievable.
Puka over receptions.
Just force feed him.
Yeah. Yeah. I get 7-8 catches with 15 targets every single week. And without Lattimore on the Saints anymore, I just don't know how they're going to stop the Rams. So I'll take the 2.5 or -2.5 as well. You know, nothing negative about the Saints. They've just been, I don't know what to make of them. I know they're coming off a bye week, but their defense has been so bad this year, and that was supposed to be like a real strong suit for them. So I think the Rams bounce back this week, get a win on the road. No, we'll do the -2.5.
Yeah, I like it. I like the Rams this week.
Here's the game of the week for me. The Eagles are at the Ravens. Eagles +3, over under 51.
Ravens -3. I mean, I think the Eagles aren't going to have a problem scoring and moving the ball. Saquon's absolutely incredible.
Did you see that tweet I sent you?
Mm-mm.
This is this week, Eagles-Ravens, we have four running backs starting.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, listen, Saquon Barkley is incredible, dude. I mean, the guy's incredible. So he's going to run all over the Ravens, period. The end. That's the end of it. I mean, he's going to do it. But with that said, I think that the Ravens are just a better football team. I mean, not a better football team. I think that the Ravens are a better offense. And
Lamar, 15-1 against NFC.
Yeah, I'm just going to take – this is to me two really good football teams, two teams we're probably going to see make deep runs in the playoffs. And I just think Lamar is head over heels better than Jalen Hurts. So give me the better quarterback. Better quarterback.
I'm going to go over 51. Like we said this last week, is it doesn't matter what defense the Ravens are playing, they can score on anybody. And the Chargers had a top five defense and
didn't matter.
They just can score at will.
I think they held Derrick Henry to what?
The Chargers?
They held him to nothing and they still won.
I think the Eagles will be able to run on this team. Eagles always get their points. They always, and I feel the same for the Ravens. They're always going to get into the higher 20s just because their offenses are both that explosive. So I'll do over 51 here. It's the same over-under as against the Chargers, and the Eagles, and to me, are a better offensive team than the Chargers are. So,
yeah, I like the overplay here too. It just seemed like it's a little high. But I do like it. I do like it. I do think it will go over. I just have zero faith in Jalen Hurts. So if you guys watch me take, like, this is nothing against the Eagles. I think the Eagles are incredible. I just don't think Jalen Hurts is. So it's going to be very, very, you're going to, not many times you're going to tune in here and find me taking the Eagles. So give me the Ravens -3.
All right. Well, next game we have, and it is the 49ers at the Buffalo Bills. The Bills are -6.5, over under 44.5. Just keep an eye on the weather in this game. It's supposed to be snowy. It's supposed to be cold. So for those purposes, I don't know if Brock Purdy is playing or not still. I don't know if Nick Bosa is playing or not. This seems almost like a trap game for the Bills, who should, coming off a bye week at home, should probably steamroll the 49ers. But I think the weather does play a factor into this. But.
Oof. What's the spread?
Bills -6.5.
I would buy the half a point. I'll take the Niners +7. I'll take the Niners +7, and that's with the hopes that Purdy plays. I think he's going to play. I think they need him to play. Their team isn't really in a position where they can, like, take a week off and see if he gets better.
If they lose, this is over.
That's what I'm saying. So I think they're in a position now where it's not one of these, like, hey, the Niners are playing good football. They can afford to have him take an extra week to get healthy. I think they're going to kind of borderline force him to play. I think Bosa is going to get out there. I think Purdy's going to get out there. I don't know how healthy they are, but I think both play. So in this situation, early on in the week before they announce that they play, I'd probably buy the half a point to the 7 and take the Niners +7 under the assumption that both of them play.
I'm going to roll with the Bills -6.5. I see that Matt Milano has a chance of playing this week. That would be a huge spark for that defense. Keon Coleman's been practicing, so if he comes back, if it doesn't snow, then, you know, either way I take Buffalo because – I think they're more in tune and playing in that weather than San Fran, who's just a West Coast team. I don't know. It seems like every year there's always a team like San Fran who, you know, they go real far in the playoffs, and the following year we keep expecting them to be great, and then they're just not good. McCaffrey still looks hurt, looks slow. I mean, I could be dead wrong, but I'll take the Bills at home off a bye. Cold weather game.
Obviously, I don't hate the pick. I mean, listen, the Bills are playing unbelievable football, and they're a great football team.
It looks like they're coming for blood this year.
Yeah, they're a great football team. But, you know,
one bone to pick I have with everyone who is like, I saw this on, I don't even know, Get Up or one of these. They're like, oh, you know, everyone who was saying the Bills offense would take a step back after losing Diggs. Like, they have no idea what they're talking about. This, all right. The Bills still had to go and get Amari Cooper. So at one point they felt like their offense still isn't what it should be, and went out and got a wide receiver. I'm sorry. I just had to say that. Obviously, like,
I did not think that the Bills were going to be good offensively. I didn't really think the Bills were going to be good, period. But I did say, if you check the tape, I did say back in when we had this discussion preseason, if the Bills turn out to be good, fucking kudos to Josh Allen, because that means he's just playing out of his mind. And I think that's the case. I think Josh Allen is playing out of his mind.
He hasn't
turned
the ball over.
So I didn't think no matter how good he played, he would have been able to kind of carry the weight, but it seems like he has no problem doing it. So this has nothing to do with me thinking that the Bills are not that good or whatever. It's just, I think that the fucking Niners are going to play these players who are half hurt, and they're going to pull out every fucking trick they have. Shanahan's going to go deep into the playbook. Like, they need this fucking game. Yeah. So, like, I'm just taking it based on the fact that it's a standalone game. I could buy the half a point. I can get the Niners with a touchdown in a game they need, like, they need it more than they need air. You know, that's the only reason I'm taking it. It has nothing to do with me not thinking the Bills are one of the best teams in football, because I do.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, definitely are. So I see what you're saying, though. This is like really legitimately the Niners playoffs start now.
Yeah, like they need it. They need it.
But all right, our last game of the week, Monday night, we have the Cleveland Browns at the Denver Broncos. Broncos are -5.5, over under 41.5.
all aboard the fucking Bo Nix train, baby. give me Denver minus the 5.5. I think that is that what it is? 5.5.
Yeah, 5.5.
Give me Denver -5.5. Bo Nix is playing good football. The Broncos overall are playing good. I like Sean Payton. I know that we've had our ups and downs with what we think of him, but I like the fact that he talks shit. I like the fact that he beats up on people. He kicks them when they're down. Like, he's kind of like the villain out of all the coaches. You know, he plays that role well. And I think the guys love that shit. I think that the team gets up for him. I think Bo Nix is playing really good. So, and Cleveland, you know, they won a tight division game in the snow, but they always, the AFC North is king for these division games. The records go out the window when those teams play. So I don't make much of that win, and I think that the Denver is just a much better football team. So give me Denver -5.5.
I'm going over 41.5. I think Denver's offense is getting better every single week. Cleveland's defense, to me, doesn't really scare me at all, but I think Jameis somehow finds ways to put 20 points on the board every single week. So I'd assume that Denver would win this game because I think they're very efficient in everything that they do. But 41.5 seems a little low for me because both these, you know, Denver's has been scoring the ball lately. So this isn't the same Bo Nix we saw against the Jets in week 2 throw for 60 yards. This is a different team.
Yeah.
And Courtland Sutton looks like to be the real deal again.
Yeah,
what we
for
saw
sure.
3 years ago. He seems to be back at that level. A lot of pieces I like on Denver. Velly, that rookie wide receiver.
Yeah, he's good. Like he's good.
They got a good squad over there. So give me over 41.5. Dylan is doing -5.5. Do you have any best bets that you like this week?
Best bets would be I'm gonna go Commanders -5.5. I think this is just one of those, like, everything collides at once, you know. Washington coming off a game where they were 10-point favorites, should have beat the brakes off Dallas and didn't and lost, got shocked. Tennessee on the opposite end shocked Houston and won. So I think, like, Tennessee's trending this way on this big, huge high. They're bound to get just let everybody down. And I think the opposite. I think Commanders let everybody down, so everyone's kind of like off that train a little bit. And I think they're just due to beat the brakes off somebody. So I think the worlds are colliding. Great team or good team versus really bad team. Team that's due for a bounce back versus team that's due for a letdown. I think that the Commanders are going to just beat the fucking shit out of the Titans. That's my best bet. And that's my, like, golden ticket bet of the week there. I don't even know if I have any others. I think, like, that's just my big bet of the week.
I'm going to do the Rams -2.5. I think the Saints defense is just a shell of what it was the last couple of years. This game will be played in a dome. And you know what? Matt Stafford does so well against the blitz. I think that Puka and Cooper Kupp just eat this defense apart. So for the Rams, I know it's -2.5. That's basically saying they just got to win the game. I think they can go in there and do that in kind of a do or die week for them.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Are you giving more picks or? I can give more if I have to for the best bets.
That's the only one that jumps out to me.
Yeah, me
honestly.
Too.
I don't want to say I love this, and I don't.
And it's
really
a weird week
it.
Too. You got the three Thanksgiving games, which you know are always tough to make out, and the rest. I don't want to go out and give a bunch of these other games and call them best bets if I'm not, like, locked and loaded on them.
Like, that's the only one that I see that I like. The other ones, you know, not that I don't like them, but it's
either that or the Ravens. But
that to me with those two, I always hate doing like two high powered.
Yeah,
no, they're like number one and number three in the league. So those games are always so tough.
How much time do we have?
We have 6 minutes.
Hey, May. Mason.
I didn't know Mason was here today.
Mason. Come down here.
What do you got?
I told her, I promised her I'd let her make a pick.
Oh. I'll let her jump on the mic here.
No, she gets it here. She can make this pick.
What? Oh boy, here we go. She's going with the Ravens, isn't she?
No. I didn't influence her in any way.
Yeah,
right. I didn't. I'm just gonna show her all the logos.
The Mason pick of the week. This is a new segment.
Is she coming? May, are you coming down?
I'm right here.
Oh, jeez.
I don't hear her. Yeah. I don't see her.
No. Come around the right way.
Come around.
Come on.
The May Ray pick of the week.
Do you want to put the headset on or do you want to just talk into the mic? You have to come here. Camera's off. Don't worry about it. Look, you ready? Out of all of these logos, do you want to...
Just a picture of Dylan and I.
So, out of all the logos, what's your favorite pick of the week? What? You like that? The red flag? Oh, she's taking Tampa Bay -6.
Wow.
Lock and load. Mason's lock of the week.
Thanks, good job, May. Let's go, Baker.
I was going to do a little bit. How much time we have?
5 minutes.
Okay. We can cut this if we have to, but I was thinking, I was kind of having this argument the other day, and or not argument, but just messaging back and forth when I was doing these things in one of the chats on TikTok. What's your take on T. Higgins? Like, I think T. Higgins overall is very, very good. And I think he is immediately reverted to as like the best two in the league. Like everyone's like always like, oh, well, T. Higgins, dude, he'd be a number one anywhere else. But then you don't hear anything about all these other number twos. And I think people kind of like just automatically slot him in as like the best two in the league. So I was going to do a would you rather with T. Higgins and list all of the twos in the league, because I don't think he's as high up on the board as maybe a lot of other people think. And I just was curious to see your take if I list them off with other guys who I think are right in the mix with him.
I think talent wise, he is definitely at the top of tier two. But I do think at some point or another, you have to take into account that he can't stay on the field. I think that has to play. So if there's someone who you like, if you want to name someone in tier two,
this is what I'm going to say. I'm going to say this. Like, this is just number two receivers. So we're not talking ones. Talking twos. You're starting a franchise. Who would you rather? Like, you already have everything else. The last slot on your team is two receiver, wide receiver two, and you could take from anybody. Would you rather T. Higgins or would you rather? I'll start with easier ones. Yeah. So you want T. Higgins or Adam Thielen?
Higgins.
Okay.
Thielen,
so
100.
T. Higgins or, well, just for one season.
Okay.
So T. Higgins, it. Adam Thielen. You're going T. Higgins? Me too. T. Higgins, Chris Godwin.
T. Higgins.
It's close for me, but I'll go T. Higgins as well. T. Higgins, Jordan Addison.
Oh, man. You know what? T. Higgins has better hands. I'll go T. Higgins.
I would go Jordan Addison. But, okay, I get it. T. Higgins or T. Higgins or Devontae Smith?
Oh, man. See, that's a tougher one. Those to me are tied. I honestly, man, that's a draw for me. I'd flip a coin. I'd be happy with
I would one. Take Devontae Smith. T. Higgins or Cooper Kupp?
Oh, man. Just for 1 year at their current stage?
Right now. One year. Like, you're going into, like what you say, you're going into the playoff run, and you could have either guy as your two.
Oh, either guy is my two. I'll go Cooper Kupp. He's a big
game. I'll go Cooper Kupp, too. This is what I'm saying. So, like I said, I'm not going to go off the list with every single guy. Listed, like, kind of guys who are revered to be the best. I'm just saying, I think a lot of times when you hear a number two receiver, you're just like, oh, dude, T. Higgins would be one anywhere else. It's like, I don't know about that. I don't think he would be. I think there's three or four guys who are just as good, if not better.
Yeah, I do too. And you know what? I mean, obviously Cincinnati fans might not think so, but at some point or another, like I have to take into account that he's hurt all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't another guy, stay on the field, then what good are you?
Another guy, Juwan Jennings. Like, and he's the three coming into this year. Brandon Ayuk.
He's the best three that's ever played.
That's ever played. That's what I'm saying. Juwan Jennings this year is playing out of his mind. I know you gotta take into account more things, but like going into the year, you would have considered who? Debo to be the two? Why Ayuk to be the two, whoever.
So like, I always thought, like, I was always maybe I'm too high on T, but I always thought like T was better than Ayuk. I thought him and Devonta were one and two as the second tier.
Yeah, and I'm not going 100% against the argument. Yeah. I'm not saying like, oh, you're totally wrong. Though. There's an argument, and I just think there's a lot of people who don't think there is at all. And it's like Jordan Addison is disgusting. Like Cooper Kupp is filthy. Like Chris Godwin has been doing it for years. I don't know the last time the guy hasn't had over 1,000 yards. I know he's hurt this year, but unbelievable. Adam Thielen, been doing it for years. I know he's not maybe as like flashy as the other guys, but like there's a lot of two receivers in football that people just completely go like this to. I think it's one of the most stacked positions in the NFL.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course it is.
You know? Yeah. I mean, now Garrett Wilson. Okay. Garrett Wilson or T. Higgins? Garrett Wilson.
That's a tough one.
Garrett Wilson. Like, this is what I'm saying. So it's like there's all these
I
twos.
I think we're out of time. I don't know. What does it say on here quick?
We're close, but either way, like I said, we could wrap it up. And, yeah, we can wrap it up. It's basically, yeah, it just went down.